traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I think I'm going to be a really good MMA fighter. And you looked me in the eye and said, you won't. I need to know why you said this.
Respect that, though.
Like, just fucking give it to me straight.
I don't think you're a fighter. I don't think you are a fighter, dude. Oof.
What is that, bro? You got some new swag, huh?
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, I love Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, bro.
More importantly, I love you.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, you know, I like to wear yellow because it's bright. And I feel like I got a bright personality. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. God damn it, Dylan.
What's going on, man?
What are you doing,
Andre, you ready? Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. We love you. It's true, I'm wearing yellow. And funny that you like this outfit, Spencer. It's actually Fashion Nova Men.
Ooh.
Who is indeed our sponsor today.
Wow.
And it's really ironic you say that, because also I put it on, I was like, oh shit.
That's nice.
Like, bro, Fashion Nova Men is highly, vastly underrated. I also was wearing one of their hoodies in my last video that I posted on YouTube. And you know me, bro. Like, I got my own brand, but Fashion Nova is like awesome.
Pop it. That's pretty dope. You gotta rep it.
I had to switch it out. So yo, if you're a man or a woman, don't sleep on Fashion Nova, especially for the men out there. I can tell you, recently I've started wearing a lot of their stuff. It's awesome. Fashion Nova Men, check it out. Shout out Rich. We love you, bro. It was good to see you the other night at Rolling Loud. He was there, Fashion Nova founder, CEO.
Yes, sir. Shout out Rich.
Great guy.
Had a great night with him. It's always fun hanging out with those FN boys.
Yeah.
Rolling Loud was fun. Yeah. We saw ASAP Rocky perform, which was dope. And then we also saw this Juice WRLD tribute, which was kind of tough to watch.
Very sad.
It was sad. There's a lot of tears being shed. He had DJ Scheme came out, his close friend DJ Scheme, as well as Slump God and
Benny Blanco.
Benny Blanco.
I didn't realize how many hits he had. It was one of those moments where I was like, wow, this dude really made a really heavy cultural impact.
In a really short period of time.
Bro, he's so young, dude. He was so young. I hate when young talent is stripped from us. I hate when when someone who clearly hasn't reached their fullest potential, like, bro, who knows how great.
I was thinking that when, you know, X just put out, well, X had a new album come out. You saw that?
Oh yeah.
And it's like, when I was listening to this, I was like, oh my God, bro, there's so much talent. And these are probably just snippets that were like accidentally recorded. Well, I don't know the story behind it.
A lot of them are voice memos and like notes.
For real?
Yeah, for sure.
Holy
for sure.
Shit.
Yeah. And one of my favorites is like, I imagine the process was like this, because, and our guests will talk about this today because he does music a lot. I've done some music. You will go to your voice memo app in your phone and just start humming melodies. And a few of them, you could tell he's like in the studio and he's recording a voice memo and he's just running through some melodies. And then they put a production behind it and made it into his team and made it into a song for the release. It's a 25 song album. I'd say about 10 of them are just straight up voice notes, just like him messing around. And there's still such a magical melody that he carries, that he's always been able to do. A lot of his songs, bro, he just repeats this. It's the same snippet over and over again, like Sad Changes, I believe it's called, X Bitch in his new album, and Heartbreaker. I've been singing Heartbreaker for the past 2 weeks.
Is that what song?
Or Heart Eater.
How is that new one, though? Is that album?
His new album? I was honestly pleasantly surprised. There's some really good, there's some good tracks. It's all short. Right, most of it was shorter.
Yeah, it's true. I've been listening
to the Roddy Ricch album just on nonstop.
You have
number one album in the country, Roddy Ricch. Congratulations on that, Kifa, Roddy, that whole squad. He came out and performed at Rolling Loud as well during Tyga's set. I think Roddy's on fire right now. He's got a chokehold on LA, and it looks like it's going to be national too. I actually watched a video yesterday of Meek Mill explaining why he didn't sign Roddy which was an interesting watch.
I always love hearing those stories.
It was cool. It was like some behind the scenes type shit. He was just like, yo, like, I think me and him just like think differently. He's a, I mean, Roddy's what, like 21, 22, yeah, something young, like that. Yeah. Meek Mill's in his mid 30s, and they just were on different wavelengths. But
I respect the ability to recognize that, because yeah. Yo, you know how easy it is in Hollywood to force some shit. If Meek Mill would have was like, yo, this kid's hot, I'm going to sign him for that reason only, rather than the creative alignment.
Yep.
Like that's always cool and refreshing. Staying true to their craft is sick. But since we're talking about artists, we got one today.
Facts.
I think we should bring him on. Yo, introducing our guest. He's got...
Oh, before you do this, we have a gift for you. I didn't want to get this for you, by the way.
A gift?
Yeah, hold on a sec.
Or a gift.
Dylan.
A Christmas gift.
It's a moving image.
I'm not good at receiving gifts, guys.
So,
I'm really not.
So Dylan wanted to get you a gift, and he was like, let's all pitch in for it. And I said, usually the boss gets the employees a gift, especially when he's rich as fuck.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I pitched in on this one.
I you will.
Okay.
I'm actually docking your
I
pay.
Owe you some?
Yeah.
But, my pay of zero?
I'm really not.
It's a small gesture from us to you.
Aww.
Oh, that's Aww. Nice.
I don't even know.
That's
they got
really
me a plaque.
Nice.
They got me a plaque that says Logan Paul, winner of the 2019 Streamy Award, Best Podcast Impulsive with a 480p Getty image quality photo.
She was like, oh, it's going to be perfect. And the reason it's this price is because the photo. And then she shows it to me. And I was like, well, it looks great. But
you bought this from Getty?
No. Oh, no.
You know what? I know why he didn't buy it from Getty, because the watermark is still
on. I told her that's okay. Don't worry about that.
That's nice, though. This
is cool, man. I'm going to put this right here.
Yeah, we got to put it on the wall.
But no, seriously, because, even Getty photos, no one really prints them out and has them physically, and I think it'd be a great representation of the guys and, for the whole set.
I swear.
Yeah, it's small.
It's not that.
Something strange about the.
I just feel like weird about it, just because I feel. I don't know if you know this or not, and I'm gonna let you in on something.
Yeah,
but
Mike's got something that you gotta.
I'm gonna tell you right now. There's actually more than one person on this show.
Well, that's where the picture.
That's that picture.
Underneath the picture, it says Logan Paul, and I've told you this numerous times. We're actually real. We have blood and bones, dude. We're
this
real.
Is correct.
We're not just.
Yeah, we
we're
sweat.
Not just 3D images.
We
dude.
Sweat,
but that's why there's all of you together. But I thought we presented to Logan
that was
on
nice.
Behalf.
No,
it's
nice.
Good. It's good.
I'm always. I gotta say.
Anyway, as a general holiday gift from all of us to you. So thanks.
Thank you, Dylan. Sure. Thank
that
you.
Was nice, Dylan. That was nice.
That was
nice.
Thank you, Dylan.
I'm always nervous to go to. Internet centric events.
He gets anxiety when he's not like motivated. Like one of the biggest anxiety drivers for him is talking to his mom without a clear objective. So she calls him in the morning, and he wants to know exactly why that's happening.
But she'll call me. Mike called in the Uber ride to our meeting today. He's like, yo, my mom called me. He just started talking about like a bunch of things. I was like, when my mom does that, I have to stop her. Like 15 minutes in, I'll be like, mom, I love you. What is the objective of this phone call?
Hey, what are we doing here?
If she says to me, oh, it's just to talk. I just want to talk to my son because I love you. That's fine. But now I know that, so I can mentally prepare for the
jargon. Well, has it ever been anything else? Like, isn't that always the case?
Yeah. No, sometimes she'll call me to complain about Jake a lot, actually. Yeah. And I'm sure she calls you to complain about me. Like, it's exact opposite. Let's bring him on.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Introducing our guest. He's got 300 million followers on social media. He's the younger version of me. He hates his belly button being touched. He's now a professional boxer and a married man. It's Jake Paul.
Yes. Yes. I might go standing for this one, dude. First time ever in the history of the show, dude. Standing up.
Thank you, guys.
Little brother Jakey.
Standing O for that guy.
Yo, congrats, guys.
Thanks,
you want to stream me.
Thanks, bro.
Yo, wait. All right. Do you want to?
I hate the streamies.
I texted you when I was at the event.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful, man. Like, the streamies fell off when they, like, tried to make fun of me for being, like, the Donald Trump of YouTube and did, like, a 30-minute skit about, like,
that.
Me, and I wasn't even there.
Bro, there was a line. I was sitting there watching. There was a line in their opening song that was, like, something about my KSI smashing my face. And I'm saying,
what?
I'm like,
what?
Guys, what?
Yeah.
Like, you were mid-text, though. Yeah. I'll be honest.
I heard, I think
I had to relay that to you. I was like, did you just hear they dogged on you? And you're like, oh, what?
That's exactly it. Like, they don't know their direction. They're all over the place. Like, they try to be friendly to everyone. They like, and let's be honest, like, the people like winning the awards, like, no offense, like, they're not actually like who should be winning the award.
Wait, hold
most
on.
Of the time.
But your wife won creator of the year.
Most of the
so
time.
Does she deserve that?
He said most of the time.
Like who, like creator of the year and like what? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's a lot of verticals.
So do you think Tana correctly won that award?
No. Mr. B should have won that award.
I agree. I don't know how anyone can argue
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's tough.
We like, congrats. But like...
Why do you think they're doing that? Do you think it's just like the people that are like voting for this are just not in tune with the pulse?
I think whoever rides them the hardest gets like wins the award maybe.
Speaking of which, like, I met David Dobrik at the event.
What do you mean met him?
Not met him. I hung out with him.
You say you met him every time you see him.
I met him for the 16th time. You ever met David Dobrik before?
Yeah, I met him, yeah.
Yeah, what was that like for you? Man, every time I get shell-shocked, dude, I just feel like I'm hanging out with YouTube royalty.
You know what I don't like? Mike's becoming that guy. Yeah. I have these people to me, when they see me, they go, oh my God, it's Logan Paul. He does that when he sees
like,
David.
Like fucking around.
As like a joke, yeah. But it's not fucking funny,
fuck,
bro.
Dude. I'm pretty sure better. If I do it, it might be funny.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's... Well, maybe because if you're like close with them, but otherwise it's just like...
We get it, Mike. We get it. You're the coolest dude ever. And everyone loves you.
Now that my job's done here.
No. Stay. I love you.
Jake,
I
have to ask, bro, do you still not like your belly button being touched?
I'm a lot better at it.
Like,
one time, you know the story, right? How one time I was in a hallway and like, I was, all right, so I'm in the hallway. It's like 10th grade and, these girls, like the popular girls, like thought it would be like funny to touch my belly button because my best friends told them like, yo, like touch his belly button. And this was like when it was like severe. Like if you touch my belly button, like I would freak out.
Yo, he's
and,
not
like,
lying. Like, he's gotten violent with me. I swear to God, when I would want to piss him off. Truly piss him off. I didn't go for his belly button. He would cry when he was under the age of like 10. He would cry about it.
Wow.
And why do you think I don't like it being touched? It's mainly because of you.
PTSD.
I would also lick my fingers before I did it.
What's that
called?
A wet billy.
Yeah. Because the umbilical cord is really nice.
So I'm walking through the hallway, right, just like minding my own business, and I like stop to talk to my friend, and this girl comes up behind me and sticks her finger so far down my belly button. And my immediate reaction was to slap. And so I slapped her in the face.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But also, why the fuck did you do that?
It's
like,
a natural
don't
reaction.
Do that.
Did you say it went deep down your belly button? Do you have a deep crevice?
No, but like she really got in
she
there.
She jammed it in there?
Yeah.
Do you ever have
which one was it? I got to know. I know.
It was Danielle Dill.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Do you ever have girls do that with your butt nowadays? Like you might be getting a little...
We were talking about that.
Yeah, we've been talking about
you ever had a girl try to slip a didge?
Yeah, no, they've tried, yeah.
And it just, do you slap them in the face? Like,
I think every man, first off, every man has experienced this.
Yeah. Right?
It's sneaky.
It's very sneaky.
I usually just hit them with a little hand tap, and I go, no.
I clench my butt cheeks.
No, I didn't say like, when oh, Broly does know? His.
No, they gotta know, like, I ain't here for that. Or at least ask.
Yeah.
In which case are you here for it if they ask?
Bro, what the fuck are you? Because what are you just released a song.
Yeah.
You have a professional boxing fight coming up.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
Do you even do YouTube anymore? You're married? Are kids on the way?
No, unfortunately, no kids on the way. Yeah, no, there's a lot.
What should we start with?
An MTV show with my co-host, Mike, and best friends?
It's not what some very trusted news sources are saying.
Uh-oh.
Some very reliable news sources are saying otherwise, dude.
Let's talk about this fight, bro.
Oh, man.
Let's do a little debrief on...
Damn, you have a lot going on.
A lot. You know, it's crazy. I was going to say it before the podcast started, but I saved it for the day. It's like, yo, I was like... in like work mode and like so silent and there was like nothing going on, and then literally like all in one week like everything happened, like MTV song fight, like everything.
It was very
happening.
It was very weird because like I was, as your brother, I monitor what you were doing,
yeah,
and you were, as was I, locked in training camp. That's
yeah.
it. You even go up to Big Bear to train,
yep.
And then all of a sudden there's like five things that in any normal person's life one of them would probably take control and that's all they do. No, like if you got an MTV show, most people would probably just call it at that.
Yeah, no. I'm just not satisfied. I like that. That's at the end of the day, just like doing as much as I possibly can in many different verticals and like in things that make sense and just like hustling and being like multifaceted and
diversifying. Yeah,
we were talking about that today, bro.
Being
diversifying has allowed me such a comfortable safety net. Like if something were to happen with one of my platforms, I got six more ways to make money.
100%. And I think it also like it, when I was on Disney and like doing YouTube, it was such a beautiful combination. Cause I'm like, I'm on people's TVs. I'm doing press events. Like Disney's promoting me, but then I have my own stuff going on. And you look at someone like Joe Rogan, like his podcast is crushing it, but then you see him like
the same night at a UFC fight.
And it's like when you can have your own shit that's pops and you're utilizing another big company, it's like the best of both worlds. And like that's what I think is like the best formula. It's like people like The Rock, like they have all these big things that they're doing, but then they're just on social media crushing it as well.
That's what social media is good for. That's what a lot of artists too, I mean, you probably experience this a lot, that I meet are afraid or unsure of how to use social media. It's such a good backbone for your operation.
Yeah,
it's, you can always fall back on it, and it drives your value and can make you exponentially more marketable, worthy for any sort of project. Like, you know this, you're probably getting jobs over actors sometimes because you have a stronger social media presence.
Yeah, no,
it's almost like an advertising cost for them. They'd work with you first because they know you can market the film.
And everything's numbers now.
Yeah.
People just want numbers. They want marketing and like social media following, like followers is such like a hot topic. Like if you have 10 million followers, it's literally worth millions and millions of dollars to people in a meeting. So
I liked your caption on your Instagram post about the MTV show. Which, by the way, I heard you weren't allowed to post about it, but you did anyway.
Yeah, so they were like, yo, you cannot post about this. Like, absolutely not. And then Tana's like my devil. Like she, you're like,
I was the angel.
Yeah,
that
you
day.
Were the angel. Yeah. And like Tana's like the devil. And she's like, no, it's fine. And I trusted in her because I was like, she has an MTV show. Like, she knows. Like, she knows.
Yeah, it's
fine.
Yeah,
she had an MTV show. Okay, she's saying it's fine. Like, it's
I'm like, Jake, I just got off the phone with the agency. They are unhappy, bro. They're telling us very straightforward. I just deleted 3 Instagram story post and I'm about to archive it, like, we cannot post. And he was like, no, Tana says it's fine. I was like, all right, man, do what you want, you're the host.
Yeah, so I post it, and then like 3 hours later my agent calls me like screaming, like, what, you're not gonna get the show if you don't delete the post, like da 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 da.
And then I think you posted again after
did
that.
You delete the post?
Yeah, I deleted the post.
You really did delete the post?
Oh, yeah. nice.
That's respectful.
Yeah, so,
but I like the caption, which is what I was gonna say, is fired from Disney, hired by MTV.
Yeah. You know what sucks though is like I wasn't actually fired by Disney.
I know.
It was
like
a mutual departure but I kind of just run with it because everyone thinks that.
I was going to
ask. It's kind of a flex.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else can flex that.
Well, not now.
Fired by Disney.
Now it is. At the time it was like, oh.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's
the notorious.
Yeah.
Notorious.
What's the biggest thing on your plate right now? What's the most important to you out of all the things that you're doing? The fight, the music, I can't even believe that you have this many things. I like, until you sat down, I kind of wasn't thinking about it, but you have a lot of fucking big things on your plate right now.
Yeah, I have a song. Hopefully that's dropping the week of the fight, but it's already done. And that's like the beautiful thing about music is like, once you do it, shoot the music video, it's already done. So I don't really have to do anything besides just market it when it comes out. But the fight is the most important.
Talk to us about the fight. What is the fight? When is it? Who's it against?
It's so important. Tell the people, bro. Okay. All right. This is the first time I'm talking about it, actually. January 30th.
Ooh. Super Bowl week. That's right. Super Bowl weekend.
Super Bowl weekend in Miami.
So wow.
The Super Bowl is Sunday. The fight is on Thursday.
In Miami. Holy
shit.
It's
going down.
This is massive, dude.
Holy shit.
Dude.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Wait, are DAZN?
DAZN?
DAZN. Now, did they...
DAZN and Eddie Hearn.
Matchroom.
So is Matchroom Boxing, are they kind of hoping there's like a little leakage from the Super Bowl audience that will come to the fight just because they're in Miami?
Yeah, so the venue we're doing it at is not huge. It's not huge. I think it's only 5,000 people.
But what's the bet? Like, explain to me the thinking behind this. The world's biggest event, the biggest event in the entire world, is happening the weekend before it. Why would they go there?
The weekend after.
The weekend just after.
I think it's the narrative of like building that into the marketing, like Super Bowl weekend. You're not going to forget when that is. And also, like, I think it's two different audiences. I think the people who are going to watch me and Gib fight might not even watch the Super Bowl. Like, do the people in the UK watch the Super Bowl? Probably not, right?
No.
They like football, soccer.
What time is the fight at? Like, are they going to try to make it?
Well, it's only a 5 hour difference, so it'll only be like the midnight. Yeah. It'll be midnight in the UK.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Oh wow,
5,000 seats. So, you said
5,000 seats.
That's gonna sell out.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
Fast.
10-ounce gloves. No headgear.
Nice, wow. Nice.
Somebody's getting
debut.
Knocked out.
There we go.
Pro debut. Nice.
There we go.
Do what I couldn't, bro. Secure that dub. I have to.
And it's against Gib. We haven't even talked about it. I mean, you guys know it's against Gib.
Seven-figure
Gibber. A lot of people don't like know who he is. So I feel like we have to like kind of build him up so people are excited about it. But basically, the reason I'm doing this fight is because Gib is KSI's best friend. And KSI was like, hey, like, it, you know, if you beat Gib, you beat my brother, you beat Gib, who's like one of his best friends, like, then I'm going for KSI. Mm. So that's like, it's like a stepping stone.
Is what's exciting you about this fight? Because to be honest, bro, Gib is like Dylan just wrote down on the whiteboard, he said, who is Gib? And I don't know how to answer that question.
Me either.
It's on you to put importance and value on Gib so people care about who you're fighting.
Exactly.
They're doing a fair amount of marketing for him out of the UK. The UK fans.
The beautiful thing is that he has KSI's fan base behind him.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of my fans or people in America, like, are gonna be that excited. I think they're just gonna watch because I'm fighting.
Here's where I think he may prove us wrong. Like, we know this, we've seen it, brother. This dude Gib is he's like a showman. He's got a lot of energy.
For sure.
He's got a big personality. Yep, all he wants to do is get in your face and go crazy.
I think he's actually crazy. Like, I don't think it's a show. I think he's a lunatic.
I think that's why they call him Big Gibber. He's like the thing from the Goonies. I've said this before.
Yeah.
That thing they like unleash and unlocks the cage and then he goes crazy. Sloth. He's like that. Big Gibber. But as far as his boxing ability, is that some? Are you concerned? Or is he good? I know he won a fight, but it wasn't great.
He's 2-0, so he's 2-0.
Oh, he won two fights.
Yeah, he won two fights. Okay. He fought on the original Joe Weller KSI card, and I couldn't say this like with more confidence. I am not worried in the slightest. He'll be lucky, you know. Like, I don't think the fight will go six rounds. I know the fight won't go six rounds. I just think it depends on like how much better progressively he's gotten, and hopefully he's gotten better. Because if it's anything near, like if he's not three times as good as he was in his last fight, then he's going to get knocked out. But on him to, you know, to train obviously hard. But I'm not concerned in the slightest. Like, the amount of confidence I have almost scares myself.
Did you? I want to put a pin in that because I have something to say regarding that.
I think this is a good note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but before I do that, what was I going to say? Did you, I forget it. Maybe I'll just comment on the confidence thing. All right. So we had this dude, Peter Krohn on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of debriefing about the fight, and he's a mind architect.
Yeah.
He calls it. And
he works with like MLB athletes.
Yeah, he's a real deal. And I expressed to him my confidence, my sentiment going into the fight, and it was very similar to you. It was almost like I said it in my interviews. Losing was something I couldn't fathom. I don't understand. Like, what happens if you lose? They'd ask me, and I'm like, I'm not computing. There's like zeros and ones. Nothing's firing right now. And even honestly, after the fact, it just hasn't.
But I don't think you lost. Like. Cool, so, like, the, like people
and,
say,
and
people,
maybe that's
exactly,
why, and maybe that's
say
why
you lost. You
maybe didn't, that's
like,
why
that, like, that's what I want to like reiterate. Like, you didn't lose. Like, the scorecard said you lose. Like, but and like KSI got his hand risen, but like you fought better than him. And the only reason you lost is because I took 2 points away for some bullshit.
Here's what I'll say to that, and it's a great note for you in terms of how you conduct yourself pre-fight. He didn't lose the fight but he lost stunningly compared to what he said he was going to produce pre-fight. So yeah, it was supposed to be the knockout of the century, round one decapitation.
Mike,
heads,
Mike,
hold
I
on
think
a second.
I think you're off.
No,
I
I'm
think
not.
You're, I think you are.
No, I'm not.
I think
let
you're
me,
getting confused
me,
with
no,
like...
No, I'm not. Let me,
bro, when I say first round decapitation... I don't fucking know.
But
I'm just
it's
trying
like
to
marketing.
Sell a show,
it's
bro.
Marketing.
Here's
marketing.
What
and
I,
you know that.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But in a way, how do you bring a little bit of under promise, over deliver to it while still marketing?
Right. So that, so I've learned from that. And like that's kind of been my mindset with it is that, and that's literally what I just said is like, I know the fight won't go six rounds. I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to knock him out, but I know he can't last six rounds with me. So that's, yeah, that's being more fair.
I think for Logan's point to finish, because I don't want to get away from that. I think it's a really, really important
I haven't said the note yet. Thank you. Yeah. So the note is this. Peter Krohn, basically, and you're not going to like hearing this. He goes, maybe if you would have realized that losing is a very real possibility, you would have humbled yourself and been able to fight better.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm going into it humble. Like, I literally, my mindset on it, like, even, it, like, I already, like, I envision everything that I do. And even, I know when I'm sitting across face-to-face with Gib, it's, I'm just going to be more humble. Like,
okay.
Than you were, because I think you were cocky. I think you were
but
cocky.
I do want to defend you and back up just
as a showman, as a showman and a storyteller and someone who likes to make waves, how are, and not a, like, a seasoned boxer, by the way. Like, in many ways... I don't want to say I'm tricking people, but I'm making them think I'm much better than I am.
Right,
and by the way, I don't think it matters my skill set. Our fight was more entertaining than Joshua Ruiz. Like, we're still out here putting on a great show.
Yeah,
but absolutely. I'm making them think I'm a better boxer and more confident in myself than maybe I am. So my question to you is, how do you sell a show and be the Jake Paul that we know and also a humble, likable athlete?
Yeah, it's a fine line. It's a really fine line. And I've been thinking about it too, because we had a photo shoot for like the pictures yesterday. And like, it was the first time someone asked me a question. They were like, how do you think the fight's going? I was like, oh, okay, wow. Like, here we are. Like, that was the first question anyone asked me. And it's like, how do I be humble and confident, but still like be like how I actually am deep down as like a marketer and like a showman. It's tough. I don't know. I think I'll find the flow as I go.
I think for Logan, for you personally, I think you still could have marketed the fight the way you did, but behind closed doors, I think the reality that you're trying to communicate here, I think, is just being acceptable of both results. Like, if you can be open to losing or okay with losing, and you know, hey, life's gonna go on, I accept that could be a possible reality. Mm-hmm. Then the stress is taken away, the anxiety for the fight is taken away, and therefore you're not going into the fight maybe bottling up something. I think that's Peter's point with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, for me, this is like this is super real, and like, I can be humble, and like, in like real life, I'll be like, yeah, like, you know, you can lose. It's a thing, but anything can happen in boxing.
Yeah.
Just like we saw with Andy Ruiz and Joshua. But you know, public facing, maybe you know, you're a little more out there and like outlandish and wild to market the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But did you go into the fight being like, this might go six rounds?
A week before, I was sure I was going to stop him early. The day of, I was like, this fight is going six rounds. Because I think that's
where your maybe the mindset is.
Bro, I woke up and I wanted to die, and I was
you were sick. Yeah.
I wasn't sure how I was going to be able to operate in any capacity, and I relied on my adrenaline to take me there. But after the first round, I was over. I was like, this is going six rounds. I
damn.
And by the way, I was even semi wrong, because if the ref hadn't stopped me and given him
you would have ended him.
Like, I would have proved myself wrong, which I was hoping I would do, but you know.
I think that's where the difference is like, even in like my like recent training, like, I have so much power, energy, stamina, and like, my skill set has gotten to such a high level that I just know. Like, I'm going in there like a lion.
You're training with Sugar Shane Mosley, yeah?
Yeah.
One of the greatest boxers in the history of the sport. What's that been like? How is it different from past training regimen?
It's so different. It's like... he picks apart everything that I do to like the highest degree and then like drills it into my head and like doesn't let me change it. And each day I get better and better and better and better. And I think something like where we were with like Shannon Briggs in training camp, he was like, all right, we're going to do this drill today. And like, we're going to work on this. And we do it for like one day or like 2 days and then like never revisit again. What we're doing is like coming up, getting like a skill, mastering it in sparring, and then going to the next level, the next skill, the next little trick.
Does he have coaching experience?
I was gonna say, is he
No, for sure. Okay. He coaches that's world big. Champions. Nice. He coached his own son to become a champion. So yeah, he has coaching experience. It's not like his first time doing it. I think that's the big difference is why he has like set ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. It's been honestly it's been incredible and like a complete change up and a game changer in my performance in my game.
I've always thought this, and I think I may have said it publicly like once. You're a much more technical, smarter boxer than I am, which is why I think I'll perform better in MMA because I kind of
just wild and like unorthodox.
Yeah,
and
unorthodox, like athletic, can pull off some random shit, but there's too many rules in boxing, and you do a great job of sticking to your script and your game plan. And I've always been impressed with your ability to punch in bunches.
Yeah.
And your combinations. You do a great that is the key, in my opinion, to boxing. And that's what separates an amateur from a pro. An amateur will go 1, 2, 3. A pro will go 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2, and just not let off the gas. And which is something I struggle with. You don't. Yeah. Which is why I'd be fucking terrified if I was Gibb.
I think that's why Gibb is a lunatic. I don't think he understands like what's coming for him. And I think what's crazy is people haven't seen me fight. Like it's gonna be awesome. People haven't seen me fight for a year and a half.
How
now,
much better are you gonna be in this fight than you were against Edgy?
It's not even the same fighter. No, it's not different style, different everything. Like. It's not even comparable. I wouldn't even know how to like put it on a scale to like measure it.
I mean, we saw the same kind of growth out of your brother too. So it's I'm sure it's similar. I mean, the first time you fought KSI, you were vastly different fighter than you were the second.
What's crazy is, sorry to interrupt. Like Logan got so much better when he fought KSI, and I thought KSI was the same exact fighter.
I said that in my review video. He was, he's been that fighter for 5 years. I came across a video of him boxing from like legit 5 years ago, and nothing has changed except the size of his heart.
How much of
which,
it
by
is
the way,
like,
won him the fight.
Yeah. If it's not broke, don't like. How much of it is if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know what I'm saying? Like if it's working for him, like at what point do you take the batter out of the home run box and say, "Yo, I want you to hit the ball even further"?
But
you
it's working
it,
for
it
him.
Is, in, it like is, a, but it is kind of broke. But it is
a YouTube boxing match. Like if he comes across like a Jake or someone who like. Has skill and knows what they're doing in the ring, you might have some problems.
Yeah, it's going to be a great fight.
And by the way, it is broke. Like the one thing that I take away from the Logan versus KSI 2 fight, and it's like literally the one thing like for when I beat Gibb and then when I go to fight KSI, it's like all I learned from that fight, like the only thing that I go to sleep and like think about and learn is that KSI doesn't have a chin.
Oh, he got no chin.
You hit him. You didn't hit him the whole entire fight and you hit him two times with two uppercuts and he dropped. So like for me, like that's so exciting because like I throw bombs on these people. Like and like he doesn't have the chin that like he.
It's so funny because like he'll tell you he does, and I heard him say in the press conferences and stuff, the interviews beforehand. He's like, "Yo, I can get hit. It's no problem. I can keep moving forward." And
but like fourth round, didn't hit him the whole fight. You hit him with a couple jabs.
I mean,
and then fourth round, you hit him once. Fourth round, hard.
With an atomic fucking bomb, dude. That was not a weak fight. It was hard. Watch it back.
It was hard?
It was
very hard.
But when it connected, in my mind, I go, there's no way. There is no way he survives that. And by the way, I was right.
To me, it looked like, I forget actually.
When you get caught, you're doing a lazy ass jab and you get caught kind of like hoping you're going to land it. And his head just went,
and then you hit him with the second one. Well,
but I don't think that would did anything.
So you think he fell off of just that first one?
I think the first one rocked him, and the second one was like a.
But to me, it wasn't like I looked at your form on it, and to me, it was you weren't even fully loaded up on it. Like I know you can hit harder than that, which is why I was like, like you might have hit him good. I don't know. You were the one fighting him, but I think you could have loaded it up. I think you, it was like a half punch and you still dropped him.
It's so funny because look, when you play it real time, it doesn't look that hard.
Yeah.
But bro, I know when that hit.
It might have been the second punch. One.
It was full fist.
Oh, look at me, bloody mate.
Bruh. That's a hard punch, okay, bro. Right, facts. That's
all right, no, you're right. You're
so
right.
Wait. Let's see. Did he start to kind of? Yeah. You can tell right there. He was like, "I'm out." But then this one, I think, got him in the same spot. No,
because it was in the same spot.
Yeah.
So yo, like,
that's why, like, I look at this clip, bro. Like, you didn't lose the fight. Like,
what I was gonna say is like,
it hurts me. It pains me, and I'm coming to avenge you.
Sure. I was gonna say, bro, someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to.
Because I obviously couldn't fucking do it, but. What I was gonna say is, it's funny because I see like his sentiment towards the fight, and he's like laughing. He's laughing at everything, but like I don't want him to forget what happened. And for you, I want you to know how possible this is, because like you're a better boxer than me.
Yeah.
And I need you. Like, this is my ask to avenge our family name. Yeah, our family crest needs Jake Paul.
It needs you, bro. What would you say is a weakness that you found from your first fight that you are repairing or like working on? Is there any?
A lot. Like, it's there's been such a progression in general, but I think a lot of it, like in the first fight, like I just wasn't calm. You know, there's a lot of like anxiety and tense and adrenaline and like not really fighting smooth like I do in sparring. I think that's the biggest thing, is just being like smooth and like bringing like what you do in sparring like into the fight. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the biggest difference. And I saw you do it. You were a lot more calm.
Yeah.
You stuck to the basics. You didn't get like all like stressed out and tense and like
the second fight is much easier on your mental.
Yeah.
Like I walked in the second fight, it almost felt like another sparring session.
Yeah.
And I think obviously the more you spar, the more you'll realize this fight with Gib is probably going to be nothing more than that, and treat it like that and have fun. One thing we made a mistake of, like, we entered training camp, you know, no girls,
shut
no
it
fun,
down
no anything like we yeah, yeah. And we stopped living life the way I normally do, which has equated to all my success.
But also, don't eat tacos.
I didn't eat tacos.
Andy Ruiz did. He ate tacos.
Weighed in as the second heaviest heavyweight in history.
Oh, come on,
man. 285 pounds. And afterwards, he'll tell you he was not disciplined.
No, he ate some damn tacos, Jake. Don't eat tacos.
Who told you after the fight one of the biggest things from a performance standpoint was to make sure that you had fun doing it? It was on the show, wasn't it? Was it TJ Dillashaw that said, I go out there and I have a good time.
Yeah.
And when you're not having fun doing it, I watched him spar a million times. Bunch of chatter between him and the sparring partner, bunch of chatter, like talk to the people watching, having a good time, staying loose. He was very rigid when he got in the ring. He did a fantastic fucking job, but it didn't look like he was having fun. Fight number one, all the showmanship, all the shit I told him that I didn't want to see in fight two, I kind of wish I didn't join that train too and said to you, go have a good time. Because I think if you showed up and you had fun with it, bro, the result may have been at least a little bit different. That's all you needed. Because technically you just needed just one little, if you threw one more strong punch in that fight, you would have won the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Would have, should have, could have, bro.
Yeah, but it's all right. You know, you're diversified.
Thanks. I took some jujitsu classes.
Yeah, someone told me this.
Yo, we were having a conversation the other day. We were having a conversation the other day, and I was like, yo, I think I'm gonna be, I think I'm gonna be a really good MMA fighter. And you looked me in the eye and said, you won't. I need to know why you said this.
Oh, I respect that though.
Like, just fucking give it to me straight.
I don't think you're a fighter. I don't think you are a fighter, dude.
Oof. Oof.
Like, but maybe you are, but like,
he's a damn good podcaster.
Like, you were a good wrestler, bro, but a wrestling isn't a fight.
That's the thing. Like,
football isn't a fight. Like, I don't think you have like anger. Like, you know how, remember New Year's when we got in like the fight and like I was a little tipsy like beforehand, and I was like some security guard was like, you can't stand here. And I was like, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And you're like, dude, you're an asshole. Like, I can't believe. And then I did it again to someone and you're like, dude, like, I can't, this is why I can't take you. I don't know exactly what you said, but you're like, I can't take you. I'm like, bro, like if someone's pressing me, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm a fight. Like,
traffic jams, tailgating,
pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Oh, I can't stand here on these stairs where no one's fucking coming by. Fuck you, dude. And you're like, sorry about my brother. Like, I don't, just don't know.
Well,
if you're
I mean, in many ways, you're right. Like, you have a switch that I don't think I have, which
is a good thing in every life circumstance except for fighting. Like, yo, do not tell the stair guy to fuck off. Don't tell the security guard to fuck off. Just listen to him and keep it moving. Yeah. But that said,
we're at an empty party.
I get it. But I had this to say. I was going to bring that up. I had this to say right after the fight. I called into Adam 22's show when he was on with your favorite newscaster who reported our news about our show that I won't mention his name. But he had him on his show, and I called in and I said, And maybe prematurely, but I said, I just don't know that Logan has a real desire to weapon, to hurt people. Yeah. Like, I think Jake wants to actively hurt people. Logan enjoys the sport of fighting. I will be a good fighter. Logan, I will be a good fighter, which he is. Jake, I will kill anyone you put in front of me, and this is how I'm going to fucking do it. And I won't stop until they're on the ground bleeding or rolled out on a fucking stretcher. And I say this all the time, and Jeff just held up a sign. You're Greg Paul, you're Pam. I say it all the fucking time. You are GP, hot-headed, angry, ready to kill anything in your way.
Yeah.
He wants to fall in love with every girl he meets.
Yeah.
Two completely different fucking people. And by the way, I don't know if that dictates your performance in the ring. I have stepped back on my statements that I made after the fight right away. Maybe he would make a good MMA. I'm not gonna, because he loves the sport. Yeah. And you want to know what he is better than anything else? A very skilled learner of things.
No, 100%.
He is a student.
Plus,
and
you're,
so he
plus
will
you're
learn.
A great, amazing wrestler.
Yep.
It's just like, I think in MMA, you have to be even more of a fighter than in boxing.
So here's my rebuttal to that would be, there are submissions, and you can take people to positions you can't in boxing. MMA, in many ways, you can subdue someone and win without having to like beat their fucking skull in.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
And with boxing, if you do get your skull beaten in, they give you 10 seconds to stand up. In MMA, bro, they cut it. That's why I think this is a fact. Like, the concussion CTE fatality rates are lower in mixed martial arts.
Yeah, because the fight just ends.
Yes, it ends, or they don't give you 10 seconds to get up. By the way, after you have a concussion.
Yeah.
If you get knocked down in boxing, there's a good chance you have a concussion.
Of course.
And if you keep getting hit in the head
for
again
like
and
six
again,
more rounds.
It ain't great chance.
But if you counter that, which I hate to do, but if you're a nice kid and you have to focus on submissions because you don't want to pound someone's face into a sandwich meat, unfortunately, you've now become a one-sided MMA fighter because you're relying on chokeouts and submissions.
Why I like this and why I'm okay, and take this as the note for this conversation the kernel of the value, is like, I have no problem. Not even a problem. I encourage my friends to tell me what they really think and feel.
No.
And I encourage, like, I prefer everyone in my camp and everyone that I'm close to be candid with me. My brother, who I love more than anyone in the world, just told me he doesn't think I'm a fighter. When I'm sitting here across from him, like, telling him, yo, I want to fight. And by the way, now it's up to me to prove you wrong.
Right. But I think everyone has that fight in them. Like, have you, like, tapped into that?
Yeah.
Like, even
I don't know how.
Even in sparring today, by the way, fun side note, if I knock out Gib, I make an extra
fuck up.
Yeah.
Is that in your contract?
Yeah.
And also before we go down this route again, public knowledge?
It's public. Fuck it. Fuck yeah.
Jed?
Which is more than what Gib is making for his whole entire fight.
So when
everyone calls him like seven-figure Gibber, I'm like, yo, by the way, like, I brought this deal to you. Like, I brought the deal to Gib. Like, our management team, like, reached out to his manager and was like, hey, we have the fight deal. Here's some money. So you're welcome, Gib. It's the most amount of money that you've ever made.
Let us know, Jed.
But in sparring today, Armani yells. He's like, get that $1,000.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, like the fight thing like clicks on. Like, have you tapped into that? Like, where it's like, I'm like just a fucking lion now.
Never. Never. I'm trying to even think if that happened once in my life.
Do you want to know what he told me when he was going into the fight? I can't wait to get this job done because I'm going to have mad sex after this shit. I can't wait to. You know what I'm saying? Like, he
wait,
is.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you were excited about your first. Bro, not after. After the. And like, literally, like, when I see Jake, and by the way, this is coming from someone who knows intimately how mean Jake can be because me and him have.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Within fists. Multiple times, and some of it's on unreleased video. I'll be honest with you. Like, we have gotten in massive fights, and so, like, I see that in him, and I know that it's there to push him to a point where he says the following statement when he's in the ring. I am willing to risk bodily injury to myself to incapacitate my enemy. I am willing to take headshot after headshot if it gets me closer so that I can kill this man.
Yeah.
You, rightfully so, respected KSI shots. They're strong shots.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you had to take three of them to get him to a point where you were able to put him in the fucking ground. And that those shots don't feel good. But when you're sick in the head like Jakey is, you'll take those punches. And so that's the difference.
Does that concern you? Because obviously people ask me all the time. I'm sure they ask you, like, Bro, you have money.
Yeah.
You're successful. You can get any girl you want. Not that you would, though, because you got that wife.
Yeah.
But boxing is dangerous. And are you worried about the long-term trauma it can lead to?
Yes and no. But I think it's like if you're in it for like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And I heard you say it once. And it's like. Like, I'm smarter than the average person, so, like, I'm fine with losing.
I said this.
I was like, brain cells.
I was like, all right, here's the average person. I'm probably here.
Yeah.
So if boxing gets me to a point of, like, here, or even just, like, average, or even a little below, and I'm talking like this a little bit on my podcast, I'm fine with it.
No. Get the bags and get out, you know? But, like... But yeah, I don't really mind. And like, I, to be honest, like, I don't know if my friends here like might already notice, like, I feel slightly stupider already.
there's light at the end of the tunnel. I know, because I know what you're feeling.
Is it only during training camp?
No, it's a doctor's flashlight shining in your eyes.
It was about a week after the fight, or maybe like 2 weeks, where you started to say, wow, I feel less dumb.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I
okay, good.
Two weeks after
I
stopped getting hit in the head.
Thank God.
Did you hear me say it?
I was in the kitchen.
I can speak now.
The brain has a miraculously ability to rehabilitate itself. It's mind-blowing how much the brain is able to recover from injury. Not 100%, but you'll get back. There's been a lot of boxing. You got music. Like, what do we got? Anything else on the boxing side or hostess with the Moses?
Yeah, no.
Anything else? It's going to be fun. Excited. January 30th, 2020.
Yep.
It's going to be on DAZN. We love DAZN. We are.
Subscribe, guys. I want to see you guys there.
Wait, hold on.
January 30th.
But I'm assuming they have like a window where they can monitor the amount of people that. Subscribed because of your fight?
No, it's if no, it's
his
it's,
diff- it's his weird. Is different. Yeah, yeah, it's different.
All right, so yeah, that's
so,
cool.
So how about that girl that was in your music video? I gotta ask about this right off the bat.
Yes, I see so many fans talking about this,
and I always try to like figure out if I should continue like with the joke or if I should just like.
So all right, so
amazing video by the way.
Amazing
off,
video.
Always shout out to Ari.
Shout out to Ari.
Yeah,
he's so
a god.
Talented,
he's
bro.
A god.
So here's the video. Maybe we should play a little bit of the song too.
A little snippet.
Yeah. Copyright?
Yeah, download and save These Days on Spotify. If you haven't already, stream that. Stream
the pool
that
shots
me.
Are just incredible. I mean, it's. I'm a geek for this, man.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah. Caitlin, are we suited for this?
We need some audio?
This audio?
Content?
Yeah.
Yeah. pride these days. Too much to hide these days. I used to be the one they get a run around. Now they all ride the wave. And it's like a tidal wave. When it come down and crash, you know I got you, babe. You complain about my distance, we a flight away. But the night you stay, get your mind off things. Got a man back at home, so this ain't right, you say. That's all right with me.
Wait, hold on a second. I recognize these boobs.
So do I, man.
Where have I seen these?
Wait, what?
Where have I seen these boobs?
Those are the World Series boobs.
World Series boobs.
That's the girl that showed her boobs at the World Series.
Julia Jose. The first thing I think when I see this is, God dang, imagine being Jake Paul's wife at this point watching this video, bro.
It's acting.
Well,
it's acting.
I get it, but it still got to hurt her just knowing.
Was she mad or was she turned on?
We didn't even talk about it. It's acting. Like.
Yeah, but it made you smash.
That may have been the longest silence in impulsive history.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That didn't go as I expected. Nice. I thought you would have said something.
What? No, I didn't.
Obviously not.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Clearly not.
Did it just get hot?
It was
hot and heavy on the music.
Oh, you know what? I was going to tell him that one thing.
What?
I'm going to tell him now, I think.
Yeah, right, dude. What the fuck? No, that's gonna make the whole fucking set fucked up.
Uh-oh.
Secrets?
Secrets are being had.
It's not impulsive.
Oh no. He's giggling. Logan's collecting himself. He's throwing up a blessing to Jesus.
This is a horrible idea.
Oh no.
I also don't think it's gonna go the same way that.
Oh no. Uh-oh. Can we know the secret? Because I don't know.
Can't know. It's a secret. It's a big old secret.
Did I get you charged up?
Yep.
I also don't believe it, dude. I think it's made up.
I was gonna tell you at a time, not now, but it felt right.
Felt right, yeah. Well, probably not.
Well, I'll tell you why.
That was mad.
Probably
dumb,
not.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. I told you now.
It's probably not.
Because now you have to perform under high anxiety and tension and stress.
For the rest of the podcast?
Yep.
And so you're training me for the fight.
That's right.
All right.
Because now you know something
that
is eating away at your skin.
But I'm fine.
Like
I'm
a
fine.
Toxin.
Just breathe. Stay calm. You know? Block. Punch.
All right, so the wife sees this. What does she think? What does she say? Nothing.
Why is it a big deal? Why do you keep on putting
on
that?
I'm sorry.
It's literally
now you're
acting.
Angry.
No, it's literally acting.
It is acting, Mike. I mean, how many celebrities like do movies and have sex
actors,
scenes?
Yeah, they have sex scenes. Facts. Like,
my question to you is, how much did this cost? Because I see you got a rain machine and not a small one.
Yeah,
that's a big rain machine.
Yeah, big rain. That was probably like a $20,000 budget for that video.
You're lying.
Wow, yeah. Like so Ari also Ari's also really good at pulling favors. And yeah, we had a great production team, that like was hustling, and we did this all in one day, like in 12
what?
Hour span.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You sent me this video for notes, and this is one of the first videos I came back to and was like, yo, I got no notes. It's like,
yeah, I was surprised.
There's no
Logan normally moments. Is always like, your videos, this is trash. Changes.
He's got like 1,000 tactical notes. Yeah.
Well, cause I'll tell you, bro. And there's nothing like, I was like, what do you want from me? It's great. Like your performance, in my opinion, isn't like cringy. It's actually like sexy. If you remove yourself from like if someone lives in the space of the veil of I don't like Jake Paul.
Yeah.
There's not really much to hate on here. It's like a well-produced, like sexy,
it's a movie,
and the song's good.
Thank you. No, that was what I've never gotten like such a good response from really any piece of content that I've ever put out. I had like dozens and dozens of people like I saw it on Twitter, Instagram stories, like being like, "Wow, I never liked Jake Paul, but this is a good song." And so like that's like the best thing that I see from the feedback.
When you go out in public, how often are people confusing you for me?
All the time.
Okay, because same, and I, it confuses me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we are very different.
So different. And we look different.
But I'm wondering if it's because, like, I started to develop this belief that I think your music is making you bigger and making you stand out more than your typical YouTuber.
Maybe.
I think, I don't know if there's a you may be the best on the YouTuber music front.
Really? Wow, that's a dope compliment.
I mean, who else? Thank you. Like, KSI enters the conversation.
Sucks. Sucks.
He's not that great himself, but his last song was good.
Yeah, yeah. The hook is good, and obviously he has two huge features, so, like, he's going to stream.
Yeah, but
KSI sucks. Besides, like, he needs to put in the time. Like, that, you know, like, that's what it's about. I don't think he's put in the time.
Yeah, you've been spending a lot of time in the studio, right, dude.
Say again?
Who's got the better beard?
Better beard?
I was gonna say.
Oh, you have got that beard going.
Jake
on.
Has a phenomenal beard. I don't. This kind of came out of nowhere.
I'm going out for the fight.
It's good, dude.
It's yours is blonde, which is interesting because mine's red.
It's a little softer.
No, mine's red.
What?
Mine is red. Yeah. It's like ginger.
What about that Conor McGregor side blonde. By side? Was that you?
Yeah, that was me. Reasons why I'll knock out my opponent.
You actually looked a lot like him in that picture, dude.
So okay, so this song came out, and I noticed you went heavy on the promotion.
Yes.
And even like on your Instagram. Like the Alyssa's face is plastered everywhere.
Yeah,
and you just posted about her again.
So what's I need you to elaborate here.
Yeah, so when I wrote this song, and I was writing about a bunch of my exes, and so like she was like part of the inspiration. Erica was part of the inspiration. People like even before that, like girls I dated that like the internet doesn't know about were part of the inspiration. When we were writing the song. And I was like, okay, like that's the truth of it. And so why not say that publicly and, you know, and like cause a shit storm in marketing.
But was she cool with this?
No, so that's where she was originally going to be in the music video.
Wow.
So
why did that fall
I sent her the song and like she was like, yeah, I'm down to do it, like let's figure it out, like when is it, okay, it's later in the week, cool, like yeah, let's do it night before, like 11 p.m. I can't do it, I'm not doing it. And so I was like, all right, like whatever, like because I think that would have like broken the internet like crazy, like people would have went crazy. And so had to find someone else, whatever. But
and you remembered a set of boobs that you saw at the World Series.
Yeah.
Just flashed.
No, it actually hadn't happened yet. You got her in your music video before she flashed the World Series.
Yeah.
Really?
He can spot talent like crazy, bro. Have you heard of Team 10?
It's huge.
Wow.
Huge thing. But yeah, so I was like, okay, like I need to market my song. Why not just say that it's about all of my exes? Because that's the truth of it. And like that will get draw a lot of people's attention. And like that was just the mindset behind it.
You got balls, kid.
Yeah, you got some brass cojones. You got balls,
because like, I don't know.
So to me, like the internet's boring as shit. And it's interesting because like 6ix9ine's coming out of jail. And
is he?
Yeah.
Is he though for real?
I think so. I mean, I don't know.
The verdict's happening tomorrow, right?
By the time this is out. That's
he's supposed to be getting released?
Yeah.
For all the...
That's what they're saying.
So that's what my favorite, like he was my favorite person on the internet. Like trolled everyone, won every troll. Genius marketer, and like he made the internet fun for me because I'm a huge fan of like hip hop, and so that's like what I view when I'm on Instagram, and so I just like see all of it, and it was so fun, and I was like, bro, the internet's so boring, like it's fucking lame, like everyone just does their shit, they post their normal shit, like I want to be the person to like stir shit up, like maybe cause a little problem, maybe piss people off, like who knows, but like I just want there to be more excitement on the fucking internet, and maybe this doesn't have anything to do with like me posting Alyssa, but like kind of created excitement,
created a buzz,
kind of pissed off a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And I just think everyone's so like goody two shoe, like it just sucks. But that's kind of my angle on it. Yeah. Like everyone's afraid to like ruffle feathers or like whatever. It's like I don't really give a fuck.
That's why I'm saying you got balls, kid.
Do you think, I guess I have so many questions on that. Like, do you think that feuds create more views or convertible product than collaborate? I'm a collaborator. We're different on that. I will avoid conflict at all risks. Like I'm all about collaborating, finding people that are doing good shit and dope shit and doing shit with them.
Mm-hmm.
I see the value in both sides. My question though is, which one creates longevity versus, you know, here today, gone tomorrow type buzz? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, I mean, it's interesting. You have to walk the line. You know, you can't just like, you can't just be like controversial and like just fuck around all the time.
Right.
You have to provide value and like come with dope shit and like, you know, and do collaborative stuff. Like the next song that I have is a collaborative, like I have a feature on it. that I'm putting out. And like for that, I won't have to do marketing. But like when I'm doing stuff like by myself, like, you know, I just see like a different lane, and collabing and stuff too is great. But I'm fortunate where like I've gotten to a place where I can kind of teeter totter on both and like still do collabs with people, still ruffle some feathers. But I think that's like also part of my brand, and literally like my nickname like is now the problem child. So it's like,
and there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, it's like people hate on you on the internet and hate on people like you that have, you know, that cause problems. Like it's some sort of new phenomenon. People have been creating marketable manufactured stories since the beginning of fucking media.
Especially with music too. Like you look at Drake and Meek Mill, like these types of things pop up all the time. Yeah.
We were talking about this with this dude, Brant Pinvidic, who we just had on our podcast, big Hollywood exec, created shows like Biggest Loser, Bar Rescue. And with us, we manufacture, or when daily vlogs especially, we'd manufacture storylines, right? And for entertainment. Sometimes they were 100% true. Sometimes there was a bit of fabrication happening. But if we get exposed or they prove to be like fake or embellished, like the colorblind video, for example, we're the ones attacked, right? Our brand suffers. People now put us on the list of people they don't like. When it happens in Hollywood or in music, there's like a label to blame. There's the production team, the producers, the writers. It's like with reality TV, we were talking about with Brant. Bro, the things they do to get the reality TV stars to say what they want them to say to fit their storyline and fit their archetypes of characters to make their show work. It's disgusting. I'm going to be honest with you. Like when he was telling us this shit, it's disgusting, bro. Crazy. Like he'll sit someone down in a chair, like the reality star, and they'll do their talking head. And they'll ask them a question just to get them to say one word that they will splice into the trailer.
That has nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
And bro, this is the thing. Jake would be that producer.
No, for real. No, but for
it's fucking, splice it together.
No, it's evil. But also, I get it because we've done it.
Yeah.
The Maverick documentary. Did you watch that by chance?
Yeah.
Do you think Dad was happy with the way he looked in that?
No.
Oh yeah, no. What happened with that? Was GP pissed?
He wasn't because I super happy about it. He wasn't super happy. But I explained to him that at that time, that's just what was happening. And like that version of Greg fit our storyline the best. And like, he's my dad, bro. Sorry. I fucking love him. But sorry. And by the way, like I wasn't portrayed the best way either. But at the time, it's just like that's what the best story
was. I'm surprised
he
didn't come after me for that one. I thought when we visited the property, he might kill me. I was really nervous to sleep.
He texted me about that when he's like, yo, the microphone was still on. I was like, yeah, it wasn't me. That was Spencer.
Really, bro? You just
I'm
did
not
it?
Gonna take it. I'm not gonna take it.
Holy shit. I could have gotten killed.
I think it's different too with like social and influencer stars versus traditional, just because like everybody looks at like traditional Hollywood as like bigger than life. Like they're not even real people.
Yeah.
Like when you have beef with someone, people see you as like an actual person and they like attack you as your character.
Yeah.
Like you as a real person. When Ben Affleck does some fucked up shit, they're like that. This God has just gotten in an argument with this God or something like that. People look at it as a very otherworldly thing. When Jake Paul does something wrong, it's like the kid down the street fucking jumped on the news.
It's like the Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial. Like when she got like so much backlash for that.
Yeah.
But then she just tweets like, oh, I didn't know it was going to look
about
like
it. Yeah. Gone. You can't do that because you're in control of everything. You're in control of your storyline, the concept, the production, the editing, everything. You know?
High risk, high reward. Mm-hmm. If you get it right, yo, you're off to the fucking races. You've set up a great life for yourself where you can create and do, quite honestly, whatever you want, whenever you want, and make a great living.
Yeah. I think it's a huge thing, without stroking your cack too much. I think what you've done with the music career, for example, you're kind of weathering the storm. Because I feel like when you transition to being a rapper, like there's that initial wave, I'm sure. Did you go through an initial wave of people like not taking this seriously at all? Or are you still in that wave?
No, for sure. It's still in that wave hard. It'll take years to come out of that wave. Like even people who hate on Drake, they're like, you're still that kid who was in the wheelchair on the grassy. And it's Drake. I see it with like,
I remember that. Like back when he was like just starting. Yeah, for sure.
I think if you see it with everyone, it's hard. It's hard. It's a hard space to go into.
But you're willing to commit.
I'm willing to commit, but also like if I have my fans and like a small amount of group that like fucks with me, like why? And I had to like realize this and like deeply search into my soul to realize this. Like, when I put out every day, bro, like, it's one of the most disliked videos on YouTube. But, like, I also sold out a 30-city tour and made millions of dollars because I had my fans that fucked with it. So, like, do I really give a fuck, like, what a certain community thinks about, like, what I'm doing if I have my fans who, like, by the way, I love you guys. Like, thank you for everyone who's supporting the song like crazy and just everything I do. But, like, it doesn't matter if you can create a movement on your own. Drake literally said it at the Grammys. He was like, these awards are stupid. If you make music, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you get a fucking award or not. If you can sell tickets to a show, keep on doing what you're doing. Mm. And that's the way I look at it. And so the next song that I put out, like, this is rap. Like, these days is like rap, but it's not like rap. The next song that I put out is going to be like rap. And I think that's where people, there's going to be a lot more backlash from that community.
Have you said who the feature is yet?
No. I mean, I think people kind of know, but
we got an impulsive exclusive. Yeah. You're trying to keep that.
No, I don't care. And it's with NLE Choppa,
which is dope. Yeah, that kid, he was on the come up when you started hanging out with him, and now he's like, that kid's popping, bro. Yeah, and he's so fucking young. How old is he?
I think 16.
He's been 16 for the past 3 years, as far as I'm concerned, bro.
He might be 17 now.
He looks like a grown-ass man. It's funny, and his music is so good, but I see videos of him on Instagram. Like, I saw a video of him riding a dolphin. Like, he's doing kid stuff, like a high schooler.
What are you talking about, dude? Yeah, anybody, any age should ride a dolphin. That sounds incredible.
He's doing it with a chopper on the side of him, loaded with like a 90 fucking bullet and extendo mag and a fucking 10 grams of heroin, bro.
What do you think it is about you that has got you ingrained in culture? Like, is it the music? Is it the fighting? I'm sort of answering this question because I think I have an answer for me. But, like, I've noticed with you, you're just like, bro, you're in it. Like, you said you're regularly attend LeBron James' son's basketball games.
Yeah.
So, like, this isn't something I know about. So,
Bronny?
So how are you?
Yeah,
like,
did you see like how he like went popped off this like past weekend?
Yes. Right. Yeah, I'm just seeing it. You told me this like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
how you're tight with some of the biggest celebrities in the world? You're like always like a month ahead of the curve. I'm wondering how is it because you're diversifying the right way? Or
that's a good question. I've never really thought about like how. I think it's just like. Seeing stuff that I like and that I gravitate towards and like and just diving into it even if like the world that doesn't necessarily like know about it yet and also just I do have like a talent of like seeing potential of like where things can go or like or who's going to be around. And I think it also has to do with like my friend group. I think my friends are also like very in touch with culture and like what's going on.
You're so right. Yeah. That's one thing I noticed about your friends is like, they're always on that new wave. Even Tana, bro, she started saying Dizzy. Then everyone else started saying Dizzy.
Yeah.
And by the way, stop. It's because the wave has passed. But you're the people that you live with are quite cultured on the new wave.
Yeah,
we're a bit more like we know about a lot of things spectrum.
I think it has to do maybe with hip-hop. I feel like hip-hop creates so much culture that like we don't even realize. Like, I think hip-hop is the culture. From clothing to sports to everything, like that's where it all stems from. And I grew up again like as a hip-hop fan, like watching Lil Wayne. Like, I would like listen to his songs because mom wouldn't let me listen to him because they were like too like swear words and crazy shit. So
I was just gonna say the only issue is just like with that being the case, which it is, hip-hop is running the world right now. It is the pulse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just the unfortunate thing is like it's the pulse we got, but it's like, is it the pulse we want? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like look at 6ix9ine, for example. For the entirety of the history of the world, you snitch, you're done. It's over. There's no fucking coming back from that. It doesn't matter if you were going to get 100 years, if you're going to get 10 years. If you snitch and you bitch out, you are fucking finished. That's why YG made fucking no stop snitching. That's why all the old heads, I told him this today.
6ix9ine is going to come out of jail and be bigger than ever. I know. And he's going to be completely fine and no one's going to do a single thing.
I get it. But here's my question. Like I said, it's the culture we got, but is it the culture we want? Like I told him this morning, I said, he comes on this show, I sit that episode out. That's me because that's how I was raised. I won't share the studio with a guaranteed snitch. I won't do it. That's just me. Anybody else can do whatever they want.
Mike's from the streets.
I was raised that once you're a snitch, there is no going back. There's no coming back. There's no life to live. This is not show business. Motherfuckers from the streets are going to prison. Or to the electric chair because of 6ix9ine.
Yeah, but
this is not show business. This is not
East
a fucking
Coast
game.
Right here.
But people in New York, from close to where I came from, are going to prison because of a rainbow-haired, face-tattooed rapper. Going to prison for life. And now he's going to come out, and he's going to be good, like you said, because of the culture we got. But was it the culture we want, or the culture we deserve, or the culture we should have? Do you know what I'm saying? Like right now. Yeah, so here's where do you draw the line? 10 years ago, snitching was wrong. If you did it, there was no coming back from it. Right now, we look at pedophilia like that. 10 years from now, if we continue down the spectrum of letting rats and mice and roaches and snakes get away with shit, where does that slope fucking lead?
Yeah.
In 10 years, are we sitting here with rapists on the podcast, like, yo, so I heard
faulty
you beat the
comparison.
No, it's
faulty
not.
Comparison.
No, it's not.
No, one has to do with justice
hold
and
on.
The other is just
hold
like
on a second. There are people there are, in the business world and the business I'm talking about, and there are people in the audience that can attest to this. There is nothing lowlier than a snitch. It doesn't matter what the fuck you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. That is the bottom of the spectrum. That is one step away from.
I just don't
get very serious about this fucking shit.
I don't think there's
anything lower than a snitch.
What about a murderer, Mike? I'm looking at someone. He's not going to show who, but I want to hear.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
So he's right. How much above?
Bro, who gives a fuck?
A little bit.
Yo, if you're also like
if you're a snitch. You're a bitch and you're a pussy. Now what? He gets out of jail. Gets to live the rest of his life and become a massive star again.
Facts.
Who gives a fuck? But, and didn't he snitch on dudes who like weren't really
his
boys?
That's the thing. They weren't really his boys.
They were just gangbangers.
He went to jail and like all of his boys like had sex with like his girlfriend or something.
I get
crazy
it, but that's
shit.
Not how it goes.
And you let it rip.
But that's just.
I mean, that's fair game.
But also, did 6ix9ine do anything? Like, I just hate to comment because, like, we don't know what actually happened.
I
you know
hear
what I mean?
You, bro. I'm just going off of the old world view, Sicilian mob style shit. If you snitch, that is the end of you, and there's no coming back from it. But, bro, what the fuck do I care? I hope he gets out. Actually, no, I'm not going to even say this. He's going to get out, and he's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's fucking whatever. But my question is this. Is this what we're going to do now? Because hip-hop has always been about following the rules of the fucking streets that gave us the culture. Now it is... now. And
that's the hip-hop you know.
No, it's not. Hip-hop is hip-hop because of the hip-hop I know. The only reason...
But it's
the only
changing.
Reason,
you know, it's
changing.
It's forever changing. And when you look at what Kanye West is doing.
It's like America. America's rooted in the Constitution. There are people out there right now, maybe the same people that say that snitching is okay, that say, fuck the Constitution. We don't need that piece of paper no more. This is a different country.
Well,
and
there's
by the
also
way,
people that recognize that the people who wrote the Constitution were slave owners.
No, Spencer, you're one of the people I'm talking about. I get it.
But you have to understand that culture, it advances, right? It elevates. So I think that's what's happening with hip-hop right now.
I don't believe it's elevated. I just believe
well,
we're
it's
getting...
evolving. Look at Kanye West, for example.
Evolving
like
is the word.
He's making Jesus is king. Yes, there you go.
Or diva.
Or devolve.
Yeah, I think
it's been
both.
Think about it. 10 years ago, we had the kingpins running the rap world. The Jay-Z's, the Nas's, the Biggie's, the Pac's. They were the ones that... They were what they called back then the shot callers. The dudes that made the decisions on the streets. Now, the winners in the rap game in 2019, 2020 are the snitches and the addicts. How the fuck did that happen?
I mean,
Is it evolving or is it devolving? The bosses were the winners when I was coming up. Now the fucking...
Yeah, you have
now
a,
the
you have
garbage men are the people that run the rap game.
I don't know, though. I think when you look at, like, J. Cole, you look at the people
different
who truly
story
run it, Jay-Z, they've evolved. They have evolved. They have Jay-Z's a billionaire. You know, like, they have evolved to have more class. They're rapping about things that are more conscious.
You think Cole, Kendrick, Jay, any of them, Kanye, are going to do a song with 6ix9ine?
Kanye did.
No. I just mean like post.
Oh, no.
Probably not.
No, I don't think. I think a lot
and
of.
And they should.
But that's not what it's about.
I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
I'm with you.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people will stay away from 6ix9ine, but it won't
hurt him.
It won't hurt him because of how powerful his fan base is and how famous he's become from this whole entire process.
Also, something we've seen is like with music, in a weird way, you can do fucked up shit and people will still listen to your music because they can't make there's no bridge between your art and your personal life.
I think that's changing though, and
it changed with R. Kelly. I don't know anyone who
I've accidentally started humming his songs a couple times. I'm like, oh fuck,
yeah. Well, but also people will stop you.
Oh yeah,
but like Michael Jackson people still heavily listen.
I mean,
to
is
Michael
it
Jackson
still
music?
The remix to Ignition, like Hot and Fresh Out the Kitchen? Is that done? Like, is the kitchen closed?
Yeah, the kitchen's closed.
So I'm saying, like,
kitchen's closed, bro.
So as someone who's, I mean, you're involved in the culture, and I think we're seeing the shifts in the culture, and I think one of those big shifts is like the use of prescription pills and stuff in music, and that's not something that you're gravitating to. So with what Mike's saying, do you think that the culture is shifting in positive ways in this new age?
Well, hold on. I do have to put a pin in that quickly. You did have a little bit of drug usage in the video, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
What drug?
It looked like acid, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, wow. Which I'm not.
Which I
knocking.
Think is a little bit different.
A little bit different. Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think that we're getting to a point where, like, prescription? Let's just talk about prescription pills.
Yeah,
like, are we at a point where, like, if you're rapping about this, like, you need to stop?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's taken so many lives of rappers, and like even for me being a fan, like growing up, like, you know, it seems so normal, such a normal thing to do because of the music that I listened to as a kid, like. You know, it wasn't as prominent, but Lil Wayne did talk about Molly. He did talk about these other things like lean, all that stuff. So like when I've never done lean, but when it was first like, oh, Jake, like I was at a studio. Jake, do you want some lean? I was just like, no, but like also didn't even like faze me at all. I was like, that's normal. That's completely normal. Like I was so normalized to it because so many people talk about it. And I think, yeah, 100%, it's time to stop talking. It's time for rappers to stop bragging about drugs and prescription pills. I think drugs like mushrooms, drugs like Molly, drugs like acid, like, I think those
it's a different
are for
way.
It's a different.
We got some acid lovers out
it's
here.
Different.
Slow the fuck down,
it's different.
Producer Dylan.
It's different.
What the fuck? You just gave a cheer out for a bunch
but
of
like,
Schedule I narcotics.
Like you can't.
What the fuck is going on over here, dude?
Like to my knowledge, like you like. Like acid isn't like addictive. Shrooms aren't addictive.
But
I think Molly can be addictive. But prescription
manager
drug
Jeff
pills
is,
are highly addictive.
Manager Jeff
I think
is
that's
cutting
where
this. Let's put a disclaimer.
Addicted because he's addicted. You're addicted to psychedelics.
Yeah.
That is why they're using. They're not just doing it. They're not. By the way, that's what it is. And I don't know if people know that. They're not just waking up and being like. They're waking up and they're. They have to be in the fucking studio every single day.
But make sure they know people know why though, because this once again is not new. And he's right. And this is not new. This comes all the way back to Hendrix. It goes all the way back to Morrison. Goes all the way back to Janis Joplin. To all the people that produced the fucking original heroin music in the late 1960s. All the way through the coke days of the 80s. All the way through to now. There is a through line of drugs and music. You're 100% right. The thing that you probably should bring up though is that. The drugs are not making them better. They're not enhancing their abilities. The drugs are giving them enough relief from pain.
From anxiety or
so
something.
So that they're able to
them,
get
yeah.
in the studio. These people, since their art and their pain are joined.
They coincide.
They coincide with each other. And so the best art comes from the highest levels of trauma, pain, passion, all of those high level feelings in your body. And so... to bring up Juice,
that
I believe he was, and it's been said that he was doing quite a bit of self-prescribing and self-medicating to fix problems that he had with himself.
That, yes, but also like the confidence it gives you.
Remember, you're not saying it shouldn't be giving you confidence. It's making up for your lack of confidence normally. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, people that are super confident, when I do take drugs or even alcohol nowadays, or when I used to do drugs, it didn't give me more confidence. I'm already as confident as you could possibly be in life. Yeah. If I didn't have a lack of confidence, I wouldn't have to use drugs to get it. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's, you're right. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, but I said this the other day to him, and I put it in a group chat. I said, people who don't think they're cool use drugs and alcohol as a crutch to seem cool. People who know they're cool use drugs as a form of self-sabotage. If you're cool and you're dope as fuck, you don't need shit. You don't need fucking nothing, bro. It's that when people find weakness, I'm not confident without these. I have anxiety without these. And they don't have an outlet to get better without drugs. Of course they're going to use fucking drugs because it's easy, fast, cheap, and available.
And I think what we're seeing is some of these original rappers like J. Cole, Eminem, I don't know about Kendrick, probably Kendrick, Jay-Z, Kanye, like they're putting out some of their best music to this day, and they're not on these drugs.
That we know of, though.
True.
That's true.
That we know of. They just might not talk about it because they don't want to.
Juvenile was doing heroin in the fucking studio. Fucking DMX was smoking crack. Like, this is not new shit, dude.
But
DMX
also
was
like,
smoking
but also
crack,
like,
bro.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're not going to rap about it, what do you think, LP? Do you think
I would
rapping
assume,
about?
I would assume everyone does drugs. I legitimately, especially in Hollywood, I would assume. And then when they like guilty until proven innocent type.
Alcohol is a drug, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I consider it. Yeah. Just like I've heard too many stories about the most random people that you would never think would get canceled, would get rushed to the hospital for having some sort of OD or not an artist, but Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think that's what
he's one of those guys. Like, that is a mentally strong, smart, intelligent human, and he had some sort of substance problem and got rushed to the hospital. Like, I don't know if that answers your question.
For
I'm talking about like
for sure.
There's once you become one of the biggest artists in the world, or you're on your way to it, and especially in the hip hop industry, the definition of a rock star has changed. Now a rock star is a hip hop god. But that image and feel of a rock star, the guy who gets all the girls, tatted up, drugs, it's this like cool image that I would argue most artists are trying to attain. The problem is it's fleeting and it's dangerous.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And sometimes it's too late before you realize that, and you get fucked. There's so many false validations when it comes to reasons to do drugs if you're an artist, because they
just go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand, and it's tough, especially if you're young, you're 20, 21, 22. To pull yourself out of that, because everyone around you is, by the way, doing it as well.
That's why I think there needs to be the responsibility with hip hop, because we're seeing it's like over 70% of music downloads now are hip hop.
It's just tough, bro, because something like, that you just said that it doesn't really make much sense is hip hop and responsibility.
Yeah,
I don't know if
anything
about
though
that.
Anything that becomes the biggest thing in society has to have some layer of responsibility eventually.
It's just not cool, bro. Like, responsibility, like, responsibility isn't cool. That's not going to sell. If I rap about responsibility on my album,
Will Smith really did it. Will Smith made songs about respecting your parents.
But does anyone
play the songs? He was the biggest at the time. I mean, he had Grammy Awards.
Respecting
everything.
Your parents. I don't know, but like responsibility of like,
you
know,
you can
do
it in a good way.
J. Cole's done it.
Exactly.
In a, yes.
Like, you can do it. You can do it. Big Sean does it. Like, people can do it.
You're right.
You have to have some accountability. So
and
I think,
no,
but
and
also,
you have to
but
work.
Wait, but it's also so different though, because like J. Cole is like so fucking talented that he's able to do that. You know, like a lot of like some of these artists.
Yeah, you have to be really fucking talented
exactly,
to actually do it not on drugs.
Talented,
that's like, and that's the what you're so fucking spot on, because that's one of the big difference between nowadays is back in the day. With Hendrix and people like that, they use drugs behind the scenes as a way to improve their art because they were the best in the world. Jimi Hendrix is the best, one of the best, if not the best guitarist of all time, the history of the world. Okay. He used that drug to elevate or to get away from demons. Now you're seeing rappers use drugs as a cheat code when they're not talented.
They're like, yo, I have no talent.
I don't have the talent to step into the booth with J. Cole or Kendrick and go bar for bar from. But if I talk about lean, I talk about Molly and Perks, it's over.
I don't think it's talking about it. I think it's using it to get, like, yeah, you're just better because you don't give a fuck and you're having fun. Like some of the best music that's ever like that I've made is just having fun.
So I guess it just depends on your long-term goals then. Like if you want to make a bunch of music and unfortunately potentially ruin your life, you can do that with drugs. But the shelf life, as I know better than anyone, is short. How many people did I tell you that I buried last night in the hot tub? Endless. Every person I came up with is either dead in jail or floating in some sort of mental or physical, you know, binds because of that fucking way of life. There's no clean out. There's no smooth out. You ruin your life and you ruin the lives of the people around you.
How about that Aaron Carter?
Here's the takeaway. Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Aaron Carter. Yeah, man. He's a person.
Well, he still got that.
Yo, so Jake, hi.
Hey, guy.
I got
something. Why the fuck do people still like give any credibility or validity to like these fake online news sources? Like it actually pisses me off. Like I got pissed at Mike the other day. He's like, he texts me. He's like, hey,
bro, I just asked.
Yo, you think you're mad about
bro.
It?
I try to tell him I don't know if there's something more in my life that just doesn't fucking matter. It's
literally
like, it might as well
it's fugazi,
not exist. It's fugazi.
You guys blocked.
And bro, he'll send screenshots to me of like just the dumbest shit. I'm like, what are you reading? Like, go get a life, Mike. Go do something. I'm happier when I see you playing video games by yourself on a stool, by the way, with no back.
I mean,
it's got to be bad for your back.
The sad it is. The sad part about it is, the unfortunate part about it is you're absolutely right.
Bro,
hold on a sec. You're absolutely right, but here's the fucked up part about it. I look at it because I'm trying to keep my finger on the pulse, and unfortunately, they command a pretty fucking large following.
No, they don't, Mike!
Hey. Some of the views on some of those newscasters' videos are higher than some of the views on your videos recently.
If you added up all of their video views, I have music videos with more than that.
I know that, but I'm just saying, listen.
And the quality of viewers.
Bro,
they command an imaginary audience that you think exists and has some sort of impact on your life. And it doesn't, Mike. It just doesn't. Those aren't real people. They're children.
And also, they're getting views because what spreads faster, hate or love?
Hate.
So they're getting views because everyone wants to see what the hate is about.
But nonetheless, they're getting views. And so when I get tagged in a tweet, by the way, like let's walk this back a second. I'll devote between 5 and 7 seconds of my day to something like this. If I get tagged in a tweet or I see a tweet about something,
it affects your mental for the rest of the week.
No, it doesn't.
Your five to seven seconds affects your mental and the people you send this dumb shit in the group chat to for the rest of the week.
Maybe them, not me, as you know. Okay, anyways, so if I get tagged in something or I see something that actually affects me, which the last thing did, I'll screenshot it. I'll be like, yo, Jake, is there any truth to this? And he'll be like, no. And then I'll just go back to doing what I was doing. So unless you guys take massive offense to it, which if you're telling me it really affects you guys, then I won't send it to me. I see it. Talk about it for a second and move on.
We're humans, bro.
Okay, so.
So you see something, and I don't know if effect is the right word, but like maybe it takes, if it takes 2 seconds out of my day because this thought entered my mind, I've lost. Versus just sticking to the shit that I know I'm good at.
I watched you watch 3 videos the other day. I looked over and you were watching them.
You're going to do this right now?
Right now.
You're going to do this right now.
Oh,
take time
like
out
this.
Of your day. 3 videos, one day. One, how to steal chips without getting caught. 2, how to flip the pages of a phone book without touching it. 3, 91-year-old woman tries to name Pokemon characters. So when you, and they were each 4-minute fucking videos. So when you tell me that my 5-second fucking text message.
Where is it?
Value that those videos provided
agreed,
in my life
agreed.
Is exponentially more important
than whatever the 2 seconds you give to this random a-hole,
like,
bro.
You text me and you're like, hey, bro, is our MTV show canceled?
Didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Or you said something along those lines. Like, Mike, don't you think you would know before the internet
Mike,
knows?
I hate you, Mike. Oh, my God. Jake, it frustrates me so much. Like, so much.
I said, did you hear anything back
I said
from
the
MTV?
Same thing
or
to him.
Is
I said the same. I go, don't you think your agent would maybe call you?
I don't have an agent.
Random, unreliable. By the way, 80% of the time,
liar.
Erroneous. News source is telling you this is stupid.
I don't want to argue guys too much because I agree. I'm with you. I just sometimes I see stuff and I fucking.
I think you're drawn to degenerates.
I live with you, obviously, bro.
Exhibit A.
I live with you and I'm trying to do a show with your brother, dude.
Exhibit A.
What the fuck?
But you got to cut out the degenerates.
Facts.
Yeah.
I just, bro, I see a thing, I say a thing. You know, whatever. But yo, I don't know, man. You're absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you. That's good. We'd love to hear that.
So what should I do? I mean, should I block said character? That helped you guys. You guys all have him blocked.
Nah, yeah? It just I don't know. You said this, okay? You said instead of focusing on the things in your life that are positive and that you know
yep.
you love,
yep.
one clear. Thing you can do is yep. push out everything that you know is negative,
facts.
And that sucks.
Yeah. Facts.
Start there. Take your own advice.
Block him. Yeah. Block him right now.
Are you going to?
I already did.
Oh, you got into
it's
an
done,
argument
bro.
With him.
Yeah.
It's done.
I do that to people that I like, or I'm actually friends in real life. If I don't want to see their content, I just mute them.
It's totally a fine thing to do.
I don't know if there's a bigger scumbag on the planet. I just don't. And how easy is it to remove him in any way that can affect me?
True.
No. What the fuck? Because another thing about me is I also, as much as I do like collaboration, I also do enjoy, especially written conflict, because I'm so good at it.
So if I can get in
a Twitter beef or like an Instagram beef with somebody, I'm all about it because
him,
I love that shit.
It never ends, bro.
Facts. Never ends. It never
I told
ends.
Him that. I told him that. His happiest days, like he comes at night when people reply to him. Like that's what he gets off on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I just don't waste your time. You can't win because even if you feel like you've won, bro, like he'll live to fight another day. And that ain't the life that I want to be living or lending my energy to.
People
want to
see him in the ring.
Spencer versus
him. Oh, that would be big, bro.
Listen, let's move on. We got bigger fish to fry.
Wait, do you
or
have,
do
we?
Because do we have anything else to talk about? We've been here a while. The next guest is coming. Is there?
I mean, dude, let's hit some other juice. I mean, is there any other juice, bro?
I mean,
like
we just,
fucking like what's the deal with this wife? Is that real and shit?
Well, how successful was the wedding for his career?
How has the wedding, like the marriage been? Because that's interesting.
Are you happily married? Is there a divorce in the works? Like, what's good?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't
have
know
you
if
guys
we should
have,
talk
have
about
have
this.
Had,
there's really nothing to talk about.
Have
like,
you had a threesome?
Yeah.
Four? You have?
Four? Four?
Foursome?
No.
Pussy. Do you have to own any animals?
Together?
Have you done any hummus shopping lately?
Not lately. No, she's been so busy. And I've been busy. She's been winning Creator of the Year.
Yeah, it's true.
You know
I've
time.
Been training. Like, I don't, you know.
You know what I say a lot of times when I'm trying to, like, get out of a new relationship with a girl?
What do you say?
I'm just so busy, and you're busy, and it's, I don't know. I love you, but we're just so busy.
Yeah,
you know?
Busy. Busy's a good excuse. Yo, you told me you're going to Big Bear up north to train through Christmas and New Year's?
Yeah, and my birthday.
My guy.
Focused.
My, birthday.
My guy, what about us?
Well, we can hang out there. It, bro.
You really locked in.
I'm locked the fuck in, bro.
You're clocked in.
I am locked in.
Are you
zoned in, honed in? Like, because at the end of the day, like, I'm training to beat KSI.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing.
Are you doing the no sex thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
why?
A real thing.
Why?
It's a real thing, bro.
It's not. It's
bro,
not.
I've literally had sex the night before I spar, and I can't. All do right,
so
it.
take a week off, bro. You don't got to do a month. I had two wet dreams the week of the fight. I was so horny that I ended up fucking myself.
Wow.
Literally.
Every fighter we had on so far, all the championship fighters,
every
not
single
one believes it.
They don't believe it.
Not a single one.
Just do the week before, bro. Don't need it. But you're going to be in Big Bear alone, so you're
yeah,
really
like,
funny.
Who am I?
Yeah.
What am I going to fuck? Like Armani?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, I mean, not
no,
the same
he's giving me the
wrong
neck.
With that.
I was going to ask you something, bro.
Wait, say, I didn't see Armani's face.
Say I do an MMA fight.
Yeah.
So it's, I'd like for it to be on DAZN. Joe, let's talk about it.
Tomorrow.
Are you meeting with Joe tomorrow?
Yes.
I'm meeting with him on Thursday. Anyways.
No. Why? It's a podcast. We talk about it. I'm not going to talk to you again after the show. Talk to me about shit that we haven't talked about.
No.
All right, but no, go ahead. Sorry.
I got something to talk to you about after the fucking show.
Oh, it's that thing that I said.
Oh, it's the secret.
It's that thing that
don't
I said.
Don't talk to me or talk to me.
He's charged up. Hey, let it rip. What about this?
He's who do I fight? And then when I win, who do I call out? Because the obvious answer is KSI, but I don't think he'd ever get in a cage.
No, never. Never would do that. Who do you think you would fight?
I don't know, bro, because we're reaching a point where, and you're at this point, because with Gibb, they can't be a world-class fighter. They got to have some clout, but if they don't have enough, it's just weird.
Didn't some kid from the UK just win an MMA match? Yes, he did.
Wait, who?
Like KSI's friend group, bro.
Wait,
I don't know his name. I don't know his name, but he's tall and looks like you, bro.
Oh, snap.
He looks like Logan.
What are some buzzwords to type in to find this?
Just type in...
Looks like Logan. Wait, actually type in looks
UK
like Logan.
UK MMA
I know
match.
His initials. It's an
is
acronym.
Is he a YouTuber?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Scotty T.
Is it Ali's Law's life?
Type in Sidemen. I think he might be in Sidemen.
Oh, Love Island's Georgia Harrison?
Nope. Keep going.
Oh, you're supposed to fight
MMA
that dude,
YouTuber.
Too,
type in Sidemen. Sidemen.
I think Ali is from.
Yeah. He's a sideman?
No. Wait,
damn, there's that many side. Man, we need some friends, dude.
I don't know.
This is falling apart. Wait,
bro. I know this is who exactly you should fight, bro. This is a big moment.
Can you do UK MMA YouTube looks like Logan?
I think he fought on the undercard. He fought on the undercard last fight. He fought on the undercard of the KSI Logan 1. Just type in the card. Bro, you should totally fight this guy. And he has that whole same like British fan base behind him.
Is he a gamer?
I think so. I don't know what they do.
Logan Paul 2.
No, one. Card. Undercard.
Just Wikipedia.
By the way, donate to Wikipedia.
If I see his name, it's an acronym.
Pre-reception.
They need your money.
They always need our money, bro.
Yeah, at what point are they going to be satiated?
Oh my God.
For real.
With just 275.
JMX. I think that's it.
He's big. He's a big kid. Yeah. He does look like me.
He won an MMA fight.
Shut up.
You should. Java management.
He doesn't even pop up on Google. What is Java management extension?
Click it.
Java management.
Is this him?
Java management.
For only 275.
I'm already roasting him. It's already beginning. JMX YouTuber. JMX.
Oh shit! Fight. There he is.
How many subs does this guy got?
I could literally be so wrong about this.
2.52
videos.
Announcing my fight.
What?
Type in fight. Type in MMA.
That's 1 month ago. So
type in what? Type in MMA fight. JMX MMA fight.
Why is it so hard to find? This can't be good.
Well, fig.
Fake press conference. Press conference. Joel JMX versus what Jekyll matchup.
Oh my God, that dude looks like
is that his last name matchup?
That dude looks like a gorilla.
He's
one
big.
One day ago. Sidemen, look right there. Believing Bruce right there.
Wait, what? Here?
Yeah.
JMX.
Yeah, I see some fight clips.
Shit. Wow. Who's that girl?
Are you a California resident with over 10,000 in debt? See if you qualify.
Who's that?
I don't want to see this here, fucking dude. Are you fucking.
No, look.
Shut up. Shut up. Oh my God, I have to fight this kid.
Fucking fight him, bro. He looks like he sucks.
Oh my God. He's on the left, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh God.
Let's go. He's a big kid too.
Oh, not bad.
You can't do that.
Let's see what happens.
Shut up.
We can't look at this guy.
Why is it so hard to find, though?
Oh, wait, go back. I think he
submitted him.
Yeah, it looks like a rear naked choke, maybe, off of first class. Just TKO.
Ground and pound.
Wow, that guy should call.
Yo. So, wow. Anyways, I'm glad you showed me that. Something to consider. Yeah. I would love to fight that kid. Yeah. Challenge loosely issued.
I mean, it's gonna get accepted.
I don't know if he's even on like a level. Interesting.
Here we are on a
you still addicted to candy?
Yeah.
You can't be though.
Yeah.
What's your biggest problem?
That's my weakness, bro. So which like one? Sour candy and shit.
Sour Patch Kids?
Bro, that's crazy.
I legitimately, like, I said it yesterday. I was like, when I'm 60 years old, I want to like be retired and have a fucking candy shop.
You know that's what Milton does, yeah? Doesn't have a candy shop, but Milton always has Whoppers with him. He always has Maltesers.
Candy will fuck you up, too.
Chocolate balls. Jake, I think it's a phase. I was addicted to candy and sweets, and I don't give a fuck.
Really? Yeah. When? My age?
21, 22. I remember Wampa would make fun of me because I would always, what's on the dessert
How come
menu?
I don't remember that? Oh, it's probably when you were vlogging then. We just weren't together as much.
I'm surprised because processed sugar is like not the best on athletic performance.
Honestly,
like if I have like some candy before I fight, bro, like makes me better.
I knew you were going to say some dumb shit like that.
Somebody eats a Snicker before every...
Hey, Ruiz, but look what happened. Look what happened, bro.
No, that didn't happen.
I mean, sugar's definitely important.
Welcome back to Impulsive.
All right, look, we got to go to our next guest. He's going to show up here in 13 minutes. So, Jake, bro, thank you for coming on Impulsive.
Thank you, guys.
Where can they find you on social media? Any specific...
At Logan Paul.
Sick. All right, guys, hit that subscribe button.
Save these days to Spotify, your Spotify playlist. Thank you.
And stream it so you can listen to it more than once. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Take it easy, man. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.